that we were coming. And they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to take an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Others, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen.' For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there on his own, in his own rented house, and welcomed all those who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance."
As we begin today, I want you to do something. I want you to just take a moment, and I want you to think about the people that you're connected with, people you know, who at this point in their life are far from the Lord. We all have those people in our lives. I want you to get those people in your mind just as we begin today. I want you to just kind of prayerfully hold them. And think about the fact of where their life is at right now. Think about the Lord's longing and all that the Lord has done on their behalf. And also think about how that God has put you as a witness, his witness, into their orbit. And as you think about them, how far would you go? How far would you go to know that at least at some point in their life, they had an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. Now, I start that way because I guess that's where Acts begins. You know, when we're finishing Acts today, but we go back all the way to the beginning. Acts starts from that very point where Jesus says to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses." And he said, you'll start here in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and go on to the uttermost parts of the world. You'll go everywhere and be my witnesses. And I think as we go through the book of Acts, if there's anything that stands out as we read the book of Acts, there's certainly this, that God is very determined to fulfill the mission that he gave his disciples. God is very determined, and he is very invested in fulfilling the mission for which Jesus came, that all the earth might know his salvation. That's the first thing. The second thing that goes along with that is that the instrument of that mission is, any guesses? Us. His people. The church. And so as we come to the book of Acts, at the end of the book of Acts, we realize, and I think one thing that's been underscored as we've gone through Acts, is that when the church is truly being the body of Christ, when it is truly functioning as a church of Christ, at the heart of any given fellowship like that will be pulsing the missional heart of God. It's not some kind of option that we add on in case, you know, we've kind of oriented that way. God's church, when it's healthy, when it's alive and vital, pulses with God's mission as part of its agenda. And if, on the other hand, if that mission and witness is missing, well, you know, it's kind of like, you travel around the neighborhood here, and you notice how many off-road vehicles you see around, big SUVs all around the place, and you see a lot of them, and one thing you notice is probably a very good percentage of them never get off-road. You know, they look pretty impressive in the car park, but they never get off-road. And that's sad because they were built to get off-road, just like the church is built for the mission of God. The church is equipped by the Spirit for the mission of God. God has prepared you and equipped you and called you to be a part of this great mission that he's on. Those people that you've brought to mind this morning, they've been brought to mind for a reason, because they are part of what God's wanting to work through you. And just how determined the Lord is in this mission, I think, is reflected here in the final chapter as Paul arrives in Rome. And as I look at this, there's just two brief lessons I want to point to as we think today and reflecting on Paul's life and think about our part in God's mission. The first lesson is this. The mission of God has always faced obstacles. You know, I wish it was a lot easier. I wish that, you know, all we had to do was just kind of front up in different circumstances, talk about Jesus, and people would just roll over. I wish that every Sunday we'd had somebody like Wayne just come in and say, "Hey, Jim, I want to be baptized this Sunday." But my experience is, and I don't know about yours, it might be a little bit different. My experience is, often things like this don't happen that regularly. Often, when we think about mission, there are plenty of obstacles. And that has always been the case. You know, think about this. After Jesus' ascension, what kind of odds do you think the TAB was giving this fledgling group of ever really getting off the ground out of Jerusalem, let alone going to the uttermost parts of the earth? I imagine they were pretty long odds. Again, here's Jesus. Jesus, after 3 years of ministry, the very Son of God, God incarnate, after 3 years of ministry, has about 100 people. And he has plenty of enemies. There are challenges at every turn. There are fire breathers like Saul just waiting and looking for an opportunity to do something to destroy this fledgling group. Again, you wonder how it ever got out of Jerusalem, let alone to the whole globe. Yet it did. Yet it did. And so much so that here's Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, arriving in Rome and being allowed to preach and teach, and all the time he gets a Roman escort to do it. Beloved, here's the deal. I think we need to keep this in mind as we think about our part in God's mission. We sometimes see obstacles to our witness, and we can interpret those obstacles as closed doors. What if they're merely obstacles and not closed doors? Obstacles are not necessarily closed doors. Again, and Paul is an incredible illustration of that. If you read through the book of Acts, you realize it, from the time that Paul was arrested in Jerusalem till he arrives in Rome, it was well over 2 years. And it is incredible that Paul even managed to get to Rome to be able to do this. You know, along the way, there were just all kinds of things. He was under guard at all times. He faced several corrupt magistrates who just basically were saying, well, Paul, if you'll just grease the skids here a little bit, we'll make this all go away. He had, at one point, when it looked like the ship that he was on was going to sink, the guards decided, well, we're going to lose these prisoners anyway. We might as well just kill them now. They had some incompetent sailors that he had to put up with. They had storms at sea. He even had to survive a venomous snake bite to get to Rome. It's miraculous, really, that Paul was able to overcome all the obstacles to actually arrive in Rome. Then he gets to Rome, goes to the synagogue, and he starts to tell them a bit about the Lord. And they say, well, wait, look, we haven't heard anything about you. Tell us more. We want to hear more. I like the line how they said that, look, we haven't heard about you. All we know is that everywhere we turn, people are really speaking very badly about this sect that you represent. Something had gone wrong in their branding, I guess. Their social media campaign had kind of collapsed in some way. Obviously, the PR just wasn't working because everybody was talking negatively about them. Yet with all these obstacles, Paul gives faithful witness. You know, it struck me he could have easily been tempted to give up. It could be easy to say, you know, this is just too hard. There are other fruitful places I could go. There are other things I could do that would be more effective. I know God wants me to go do this, but this is just too difficult. It just seems like there's just too many closed doors. Yet he persisted. He persisted because Paul took his commission seriously. And Paul believed that despite the obstacles, that the God who raised Jesus from the dead could also do exceeding abundantly beyond all he could ever imagine or think. And so the mission continued. And that's why I'd ask, what about you? What about you? What are the obstacles? As you think about your friends and family, work colleagues, people that brought the Lord brought to mind today, what are the obstacles you have? What are the obstacles that you think are there to your witness in their life? I want to say to you that the question becomes, will you focus on the obstacles or on the Lord, for whom nothing is impossible? Obstacles are not necessarily closed doors. That's the first lesson. Here's the second that we learn from Paul. Obstacles to witness can often be turned into opportunities. Again, for more than 2 years, Paul is basically chained to a Roman soldier. I mean, he gets to Rome, he gets a little more freedom, he can rent his own place, but there's always a guard standing by. He's greatly limited in terms of his movement, and he's still greatly restrained. Yet during that time, he finds all kinds of opportunities. During this time, Paul wrote the letters to the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Letters that we cherish today. It's ironic that in the midst of his imprisonment, Paul writes the Philippian letter, which is probably the joy letter in the New Testament. You know, too, from Philippians, we learn that as a result of being chained and always under guard, the whole Praetorian Guard became aware that he was in chains for Jesus. Again, the Praetorian Guard was this elite group who had been put together to protect the emperor. That whole group heard about Jesus because they were forced to guard this guy. Two, at the conclusion of Philippians, Paul sends greetings from the Christians who are with him at Rome. And he sends those greetings and he says, greetings to all of you and from everyone here. And he says, especially we send you greetings from those who belong to Caesar's household. I love that. Even the royal palace could not be insulated from this Jesus virus. What looked like a closed door became a great opportunity. And Paul refused to see it as a closed door. And even Caesar's household were coming to Christ. You know, it's no wonder that Paul could write elsewhere that he might be in chains, but the gospel is not chained. Luke goes out of his way here to make that point. The last two verses of Luke's gospel, he writes, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't pick this up in the English translation, but if you were reading the Greek text, you know what the very last word that Paul or that Luke ends his gospel with? You know what that word is? Unhindered. Unhindered. I don't think that was an accident. I think Luke was making a point. You know, with all the stuff that's come against the church, all the stuff that people were trying to do to crush this, the gospel is unhindered. Unhindered. Beloved, as we think about our witness and we think about our mission, do we share that kind of confidence in this message that resides in us? Do we believe that it can overcome obstacles? Do we believe that it is unchained? We've had a wonderful example before us this morning. As Wei said, a nation that was decidedly atheistic, a nation that told all of its people that there is no God. Yet, as we keep hearing from China, there are millions just like Wei who hear the gospel and their hearts are opened and they follow and obey. What looked like it was a closed country, all the missionaries got run out. The church leaders were all persecuted, either imprisoned or martyred. It looked like there was just an impossible obstacle. Yet the fruit still continues today and is one of the fastest growing places for the church in all the globe. It's almost like God says, okay, you think this is a big obstacle? You think that you can just shut this down and nothing's going to happen here? Let's see. And the gospel continues to go unhindered across the face of the earth. God made a way in Paul's life for the witness of Jesus to go all the way to Rome. And even in Rome, that witness continued unhindered. And beloved, it's a reminder again that the Lord is determined in completing his mission to the whole of his creation. And we, his church, are the instrument by which he does that. You know, there is that point in John 4 where Jesus has that encounter with the woman at the well. And that happened while the disciples went foraging for food. And the disciples then came back, and Jesus just, you could tell, Jesus had just had something going on because he was just kind of pumped. And they said, come on, Jesus, you got to eat. We've finally got us some food. You need to eat. And if you recall the story, remember what Jesus said? He said to the disciples, and this was, I don't think this was, I think the sharpness of it was intended to make a point. Jesus said, I have food that you don't seem to know anything about. My food is to do the will of my Father. And as he's speaking to him, that's when he goes on and says, open your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. Now in Samaria, it looked like it was all obstacles. But through the eyes of Jesus, the world looked a lot different. It looked like it was ripe with possibilities. Beloved, I pray that the Holy Spirit will sow that kind of gospel optimism in us. Yes, there are obstacles. Yes, there are challenges and difficulties. Yes, it's never a straight line. But the gospel is unhindered. I'll close by leading you, I want us to pray in closing. Let's pray together. I want to lead you in a prayer around this. Holy Spirit, we pray, we open our lives up to you and what you want to say to us and do through us as we reflect on Paul's life. As you're prayerfully in this place, I want you to go back to the beginning. I want to ask you, will you allow the Lord to renew his commission to you to be his witness to those people that he brought to mind today? How somehow and some way you will seek prayerfully to find the means, the opportunity, and the courage to be the witness of Jesus in their life. And will you ask yourself, if it's not going to be you, then who could it possibly be? Two, as you think about this, what obstacles do you see? I have no doubt they're there. I have no doubt that this is going to take sensitivity to the Spirit, and it's going to take breakthrough by the Spirit. What do you need to ask God for as a result of those obstacles? Do you need to ask God for something as basic as Him renewing your passion for lost people? And finally, as we pray, will you commit yourself before the Lord today and say to the Lord, the gospel will not be hindered by me. Help us, Spirit. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
And sing our final song.